Welcome to the Fan Podcast. I'm Kevin Phillips, your host, and can't wait today to continue on in our Movement Drivetrain episodes. Today, we're going to be shifting gears into element number two to get postured for a kingdom movement. We're going to be talking about your team dynamic. I'm going to take you on a journey of showing you how FAM uses an apostolic team dynamic to address the needs on our harvest fields, and then walk you through a journey of what it looks like to self-assess your team dynamic and get in the best posture possible. So let's get into it and talk about how we get postured for a movement with your team dynamic. Welcome to the FAM Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Phillips. Have my co-host here in the room with me, one of our team members, Director of Mobilization, Derek Schuschler.
Good to be back again, once more.
Yeah, what are we on, number six now?
Number six.
Man, I love it. We're talking about some important stuff. And today, we're back in the movement drivetrain, and we're talking about team dynamic. Now, before we get into it, I just want to, you know, talk about my co-host for a second, because he is one of our team members that for 13 years now, you've been speaking in to our team dynamic. And I just want to say publicly, thanks for making it great.
Yeah.
Thanks for making it dynamic. Yeah. And you add a lot of value to the team.
It's so good to be a part of this team, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, man. We've been doing it a long time together.
Yeah.
Even though we're young men and right. Robust. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into it. So we're back in the movement drivetrain in this episode. And as we're covering six episodes down the drivetrain, shifting those gears to get postured for a movement, Today we're in the second one of principles of getting postured for a movement around your team dynamic.
Yeah, so today we're looking at the team dynamic principle and how we can make some shaping choices to get us towards that kingdom movement opportunity. So we're going to see how FAM implements this dynamic and how anybody really who's going to pursue a kingdom movement opportunity needs to apply some of these team dynamic principles.
Yeah, we hope that we want to help people today.
Yeah, absolutely. So KP, how would you define team dynamic in relation, in context to movement drivetrain?
You bet. You know, team dynamic, it is the bridge. As we think about shifting those gears through the drivetrain, it is the bridge between your movement mentality, your proper mindset, and getting to that kingdom movement opportunity. Mm. So as it's that bridge, I define team dynamic this way. It's different than team model.
Okay.
Right? The team model is, oh, we do our team this way. We've aligned it this way. We've structured that way. That's fine. The team dynamic is kind of the effect of that team model and the people on the team.
Gotcha.
The team dynamic, it is what it says. It is dynamic. It's changing, evolving, it's producing. So I define it this way. Your team dynamic is the way your teams are structured, functioning, and relating to one another and the people they're serving. That's your team dynamic.
Okay.
It's active. It's out there. It's doing something. Mm. So with that, your team dynamic, the way you're relating to one another, the way you're relating to each other, the way you're structured, the way you're functioning, your team dynamic is a convergence of three main drivers, and that is your culture, it is your behaviors, and the results that your team is producing.
Okay, so break those three elements, break those down for us.
Yeah, think of it like if you're watching the podcast or rather than listening to it, you can see my hands. Think of it as an upside-down triangle.
Okay.
And the point of that triangle that's to the left, I want you to think of that as your team culture. Now, all three of these points are putting inputs into the center of your team, right? That's your team dynamic. And the first one we're looking at is your team culture.
So the who we are.
That's right. And that adds value, and it's putting things in and defining your team dynamic.
Mm, okay.
Over to the other side of the triangle, that other point, I want you to think of that as your team's behaviors, right?
So what we do as
the team. Yeah, things that we do. Adding value into your team dynamic. And the third one down at the bottom is your results. Mm. So you have your culture, your behaviors, and your results. And results are what we produce.
And all of that is adding to the team dynamic.
It's that convergence all in the middle defining the dynamic nature of your team, your team dynamic. And all these combined points create a picture of your true team dynamic and its effect.
So how does this help? How can this help FAM and anybody else for that matter get postured for a movement? Because that's what we're after, right? Is posturing for a movement. How can team dynamic help us?
Yeah, you know, sometimes when we begin to assess our team dynamic, we see, wow, we have a model, or we have behaviors, or we have cultural elements, or certain results that are pushing us forward into that kingdom movement opportunity, into the harvest fields that God has called us to, or they're antithetical to the mission of Christ or our particular mission as we have prescribed it and communicated it.
Yeah.
So we have to be honest about it. And for FAM, we work really hard at FAM to make sure Our team dynamic is aligned with our mission. I mean, just recently when we adopted the kingdom movement definition, I mean, this became a sense of identity for us. And we're changing our mission statement and everything from other language to kingdom movements. And then in the same way, just looking at how we feel our role and responsibility in our identity of raising up apostolic leaders around the world and addressing that need among the unreached. Yeah. It's a big thing for us.
It seems like we were answering the culture questions of who we are.
You betcha. And these helped us to not be content with who we were. Big thing for us.
Yeah.
Our harvest fields, they demand us to not slide into the status quo, to maintain that mentality, right?
Yeah.
And have a team dynamic that's ever growing, staying not static team, stuck in the past, but staying on the edge, very dynamic, and living out not who we were, but who we need to be today.
That's good. So where and how have you seen us working on some of those behaviors?
Oh, yeah. I think two of the biggest ones recently in the last couple of years have been how we get to church. Mm. Yeah, we did a whole episode on this in the FAM podcast of how we get to church. Mm. But addressing our behaviors in that, it led us to seeing a movement of churches being planted where we've seen half of the churches we planted in the last 12 years happened in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So that was a real big one. And then the second behavior change within our ministry was how we recruit our top level leaders overseas, our movement makers.
Yeah.
And we're really right in the midst of that behavior change right now. We're seeing, wow, the way we were doing it is not going to get us where we need to go. Our team dynamic needs to shift, and we've implemented a whole new wave of that level of recruitment to bring our ministry to scale.
Right, yeah. And I would say on the subject of the what we produce, the results questions, we had a pretty big shift with our team dynamic when we understood and redefined what are our inputs and what are our outputs as far as those core metrics go.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. I mean, it kind of slipped up on us. We weren't like really looking for it. But when we discovered that look of inputs and outputs to our core metrics, it changed everything from our promotional materials. It changed everything from how we communicate to our board, how we're sharing with potential partners and donors, and how we're looking at our own primary input of, oh, wow, the way we train leaders, that's our primary input.
Mm-hmm.
But what's our primary output? The planting of churches. And then the story groups and the people reached and the baptism in the middle there. Kingdom performance indicators. That's really been neat how it all came together and started shaping it up for us to see that our results are aligned with the Great Commission and we're thinking about them in a way that puts an edge to our team dynamic.
Sure. So for any team out there striving to get in the best posture for pursuing that kingdom movement opportunity, they can self-assess along that triangle, the culture, behaviors, and results.
Yeah, and it's going to be necessary. Without reflection and self-assessment on that, you cannot maintain a team dynamic. It will have to slide to become static, right?
Okay.
To not change is to stay still, is to die.
Yep.
So this team dynamic is ever-changing. We're analyzing, we're assessing, we're better preparing our culture, our behaviors, and our results to have the right team dynamic to impact our harvest fields in every way that God has called us to do with the time he's given us to do it.
So it starts by asking, how well are you and your team postured for a movement along the lines of culture, behaviors, and results?
And then you dial in on each of those. Just imagine how beautiful that is. Just dial in on each of those things, asking and assessing, what are our team strengths? What are the strengths of our culture? What are the strengths of the things that we do and the things that we don't do? What are the strengths of our results and how we achieve them and what we're seeking to accomplish in the harvest fields, and asking the same questions of our weaknesses. What are the weaknesses within our culture? What are the weaknesses in our team's behaviors? What are the weaknesses in our results? And that's a really tough assessment. Yeah, I think a lot of us avoid that. Okay. But what are the weaknesses and how do we minimize them? How do we play to our strengths and minimize our weaknesses on all three points that make up our team dynamic? If we can get to that, we've got a self-assessment that's going to get us in a good posture.
Sure. So let's go back to FAM and our team dynamic. And what would you say is our secret sauce?
Yeah, I just had a good conversation about this. See, this week in our offices, we had some missionaries from Africa come over, African guys, and man, they are after it. They're touching all 50 countries. And they came in to learn, to talk partnership, and the whole time they were talking, they're like, oh, we love your materials. We like this. I think we could have partnership in these ways. I knew that I've got to get to the secret sauce because they're not understanding how we operate, what our thing is. And our secret sauce is that we are structured as an apostolic team. Our secret sauce is we raise up apostolic leaders and put apostolic teams in the field to guide them and let them do an apostolic work throughout.
Yeah, so what do you mean by that? What do you mean by apostolic team, apostolic leadership, all of that? What do you mean by that?
You know, I mean, real simple put, just laying it out there. We try to structure our teams to live, to minister, to work, to serve as closely aligned to what we can see in Scripture of how Paul's team lived, worked, ministered, did everything they do. We want to be as aligned and structured in our culture, not first century culture, but apostolic culture. Sure. In behaviors, not first century behaviors, but in apostolic behaviors. And in results, not thinking we have to live up to Paul's results, but we're seeing apostolic Great Commission results happening from our lives. So that's what I mean by we're trying to put apostolic leaders in teams. We're aligning our teams to be as close to a model and a team dynamic as Paul's team that we see in the New Testament throughout.
Sure. So what does that look like in practical terms?
Yeah. You know, Paul's team was made up of apostolic leaders. Paul's team was, they were building apostolic teams and guiding apostolic networks. And they saw in many of the regions they worked in apostolic movements. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, we see a clear picture of this. And I like it because it's not just as it's happening in Acts, but we get to see a reflection back and a reminder of this team dynamic in action and how it played out much later in the life of one of their partner churches as the sodality and the modality were cooperating together for the expansion of the gospel beyond and permeating every area within the city of Corinth, right? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we kind of can start to see some of these elements of Paul's team that we seek to emulate, that we seek to align with. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, we just see it right off. Apostolic leaders at play. Look how Paul introduces himself. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. We reach out to you, our fellow partner and friend, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints in that region. So we see Paul representing himself to the local church as an apostolic leader. So for FAM, we see a need for that. That we have apostolic leaders at work in the harvest fields. They are making disciples and establishing biblical churches and having a relationship with them in an apostolic way.
Sure.
Right? So let's go on to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, we're going to see the expression of the apostolic team. This is a little bit long in verse 16 through 24. And he starts laying out the aspects. So I'm going to take the time to read it, but I just want you to see the apostolic team at work within here. It says, Paul says, I thank God who put it in the heart of Titus, the same concern that I have for you. For Titus, he not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. We are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. And what is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administered this liberal gift, and we're taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. In addition, we are sending with him our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. And as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches, and they are an honor to Christ. Therefore, show each of these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. Man, I love this, just seeing not only Paul as an apostolic leader, and in writing this, the apostolic leader, but we can see some of the apostolic team playing out. He talks about the brothers. He talks about how Titus is with them, this expression of an apostolic team relating to a local church that they had planted.
Yeah.
Right.
And we also see an expression of the apostolic network following up in chapter 9, verse 1 through 5.
So that's right.
Says, "Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you, to you, and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, mm-hmm. not as an extraction."
Man, I love seeing that nature of the church at Corinth. It's decentralized network of house churches there under a leadership of elders, mm-hmm. but also how it's connected to apostolic leaders, a team is in or out serving them, and then they're connected to a greater network in multiple regions
yeah.
and seeing themselves as part of that. So when FAM says, we want to be structured that way as an apostolic team and what it actually looks like, we see it as apostolic leaders. We give that name for those guiding movements. For apostolic teams, that's those that are being sent in cooperation with the apostolic leaders and the churches that they are planting. Mm. And apostolic networks, we reserve that language for the harvest force that's working in unity together, bringing about apostolic movements.
So KB, this thinking is probably new for a lot of our listeners.
For sure.
Yeah. But what would you say is the biggest distinctives that this type of structure and leadership can bring?
Yeah, that's going to be real important to say, okay, when I'm self-assessing my team model and my team dynamic, and I see there's something getting in the way of us fulfilling our mission in our harvest fields, we want to correct it. We start shaping choices around our team dynamic, and we see this opportunity, this idea of apostolic thinking and an apostolic team model mixed up of all the gifts and different roles and functions to bring about the kingdom.
Yeah.
We really have to see what truly are the distinctives, right? And one of those that I think is important to recognize is that the leaders in apostolic teams are characterized as servant leaders.
Yeah.
They are not just driving their position. They are not coming in as some super person or demanding yeah. certain things. They are servant leaders first and foremost.
Yeah. I mean, that's throughout all of Paul's letters.
But
we just saw it. He could have commanded Titus, but
yeah.
he appealed to Titus. He
yeah.
urged him. It wasn't a command. It wasn't a demand for
yeah.
him to do.
Yeah, an appeal is
yeah.
a great way. So a second distinctive is the roles and positions are structured around an APEST gifting.
Okay. APEST. What do you mean by APEST?
Yeah, so it's an acronym people give to the gifts, we're going to say, mm-hmm. that are represented in Ephesians chapter 4, 11, and 12 of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher.
Shepherd,
APEST.
Pastor, yeah.
yeah. So as those go in there, we would say apostolic teams mm-hmm. are structured and the roles and positions are around all of those gifts.
Sure, made up of all five. Yep.
Rather than elevating one overall or kicking some out and leaving just a few,
mm-hmm.
apostolic teams take all of them into consideration for the equipping and building up of the body of Christ to fulfill its ministry and come to all maturity.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good.
So it's a great distinctive. So when you look at your culture, new behaviors, and results, you might start looking at the APEST and see what's missing,
mm-hmm.
right? What's missing in the gifting and the roles we're creating to fulfill that and play out and live out that gifting.
Yeah.
Another distinctive, which is key, is that the way apostolic teams lead is primarily relational over positional.
Mm. So are we saying there's no positional authority?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I think if you hear it saying they primarily lead relationally yeah. rather than positional.
Sure.
Paul had position. When he spoke to Philemon, he said, "I could demand this of you,
mm-hmm.
but rather I appeal to you on the basis yeah. of love." That's having a position, but then leading relationally.
Sure.
So when someone starts to assess their team dynamic and shape choices around, okay, what's it look like for us to get into an apostolic team dynamic to fulfill our mission in the fields, they're going to really have to look at that and say, how much do I lead positionally?
Mm.
How much do we lead relationally? And think about the beauty of what could happen when we start getting some of these characteristics aligned within our team dynamic of what gets set free, what gets introduced, what gets added to the dynamic and mix of our work in the harvest fields. Mm-hmm. And the last one I'll mention, just tied so closely to that one, is apostolic teams are structured bottom up rather than top down.
So what would you say to any of our listeners who are considering aligning their team dynamic in this way?
Yeah. Man, as you reflect on it, as you're thinking, okay, what is necessary? What needs to be adapted within our culture, in our behaviors, for our results? What needs to be added in as you go into that time of reflection? Don't just talk a good game. Don't just get a bunch of rhetoric and say, oh, they were doing that. We need to do it, something like that. But just start off by being the change that you want to see in and on your team. Huh. Man, just be it. Just start discovering, what would it look like if I started leading from a relational authority more than a positional authority? I still have the title. I still have the office. And I've earned it for a lot of us. But I'm not going to lead from that position. I'm not going to play that card. I'm going to lead really. Just see what kind of chain reaction that might set off for your peers, for those under you, for those over you.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. For the volunteers, for the staff, for everybody, for the harvest fields. You know, so be the change you want to see. Start thinking about, what does it look like for me to actually live out and express my giftings as I do all the duties of my ministry, but I'm actually in the zone of living out my gifts. So what's it look like for me as a leader to start placing people in assignments roles by gifting rather than just empty seats that need filled or to-do list, right? You know, all those kind of things. For our listeners that are leaders and they're in the fight, they're out there, they're going to get it.
Sure.
But be the change you want to see. Apply those things to you and set off a chain reaction. Another one I would say is learn to lead left, right, up, and down. Learn to be that 360-degree leader that John Maxwell talks about. I mean, that's going to help more than anything from the culture to the behaviors, is that we are leading around the full orb, right? I'm leading up, I'm leading down, I'm leading left and right. And then another one is, if you're really going to make some adaptations through assessment, through seeing the need on the field, through seeing the opportunity that's out in front of you, and go for it with the proper team dynamic, you're going to have to sacrifice all sacred cows and burn down all silos. And I use that high rhetoric, sacrifice and burn down, because that's really what it takes. These things don't just come down by themselves. They are erect. They are up there. They are large. They are big. And they're not just going away. And for many of us, they've been there a long time, either in our own hearts or in our current models or structures. And if they're getting into the way of the harvest field, sacrifice all sacred cows.
That's tough, but it's gotta happen.
Gotta happen. Yeah. And burn down those silos. And when we do, we can tap into this last little admonition I'd give to our listeners, is to give up control and empower the grassroots. Now, Derek, let's dream for just a second. I mean, you know, just in transparency on the podcast, in our rehearsals, we kind of got caught up on this. We were like, oh, man, we got moved.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine this? Yeah. I wish we could kind of capture the energy of that. But really, just imagine that. That if the leaders of today, with the positions and the relationships they've been given, can truly give up control and empower the grassroots, just think of what could be unleashed upon the harvest fields.
Yeah.
But it is a team dynamic shift that's very difficult. But here's what I believe. If we can get these admonishments in play, it's going to help develop the necessary team dynamic to go after that kingdom movement opportunity. In whatever team model you have, it's the dynamic nature of that team and its culture, behaviors, and results that we're really looking at, because that's really where the rubber meets the road. That's how we take the horsepower we've been given as the body of Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit and get it to where the rubber meets the road, producing great commission outputs. Guys, we've loved having you in today. I hope you've been encouraged. And if you're looking at your own team culture, you're looking at your behaviors, you're looking at your results and saying, God, what needs to happen in us to meet the needs of our harvest field? You know what? You're asking the right questions. In the notes on the podcast, we're going to drop in the Movement Drivetrain brochure. And in it, you'll find a very simple self-assessment that you and your team can take just to see what's going on with our team dynamic and how can we improve on it. Guys, I hope you're enjoying the podcast. We love having you. Want to encourage you as partners in the kingdom and for the expansion of the gospel. Send us a message. Be sure to subscribe and be ready for next episode as we continue on with the drivetrain. Now go and be dangerous for Jesus.